Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. This next segment of our show, we'll hear from Mike Moore from HCBA. So tell me a little bit about the Baseball League.
Okay, so it's Hamilton Challenger Baseball Association. It started in 1991. It was started by Denise MacArthur, who is a therapeutic recreationist with Hamilton Health Sciences. And then she got help from a friend, Lucibello, a worker at the city. And she immediately formed like a parent council. And then it was really small to begin with. We were really transient. You know, we didn't have a home park. But over the next probably 7 or 8 years, we developed a very good core of leaders. We became incorporated, and we grew in numbers, and then we eventually became a charity. It's called recreational baseball. We call it recreational baseball, which we say no one is excluded regardless of ability. So, for example, like last year, we had a boy on life support in a wheelchair, but his mom came with him and she swings the bat for him and pushes him around the bases, and he's got a big grin and they have a smile. So that's the core of our program. We expanded. We had players that were growing up, you know, and getting older over the years, and they said, you know, we're getting bored, and some of them with advanced skill levels. And we said, well, you know, give us, when we get enough people, give us time, and we will start, we call it semi-competitive and then competitive divisions. And we've done that. So now, and we actually at junior level, we actually have two skill levels. They're fairly similar, but one's a little more advanced for some of the youth want to play like a little more like real baseball. And so we have five divisions, and we've grown since 1991 to 220 participants.
So I was just going to ask, what sorts of modified equipment, if any, do you use for the various ability levels?
Very minimal, although we do wish we had a little bit more. We have, we will use any kind of bat, like a foam bat. Some of the players, low muscle tone, we have really light bats, or somebody will help them. Players in the recreational division are allowed to use a tee. They have a choice, a tee, or we can pitch to them. Usually when we're pitching to them, we're trying to hit the bat, and because we want them to hit. We've had many, many times where players, you know, we're watching players and we think, you know, they could probably hit a pitch and they don't have the confidence. And we can always talk them into trying. And the way they light up when they hit a pitch, it's unbelievable. And I've had many coaches tell me the same thing. So it's that kind of atmosphere, and the volunteers are amazing with our players. They with 16 teams, and the volunteers come back year after year. They don't want us to switch players. They want to stay with their players every year. They love the players. The players like them, and we're just every year we're up and running like right away, but the volunteers are very engaged in like that example I gave you with trying to talk them into hitting a pitch, and encouraging them to do, you know, a little bit, whatever they can. And it's a fabulous atmosphere. There's always lots of smiles, and we get lots of good feedback from family and workers.
So in your time with the Baseball Association, is there an individual success story that stands out for you?
Oh, wow. No, I can't. I think there was Challenger Baseball was started, I think, in the States before us by Little League. But it was always, you know, like 6-8 weeks, juniors only up to age 18. And it was always just very recreational, as far as we know. I did look into it a little bit, but not a lot. So I think our, we just had a bunch of people, and maybe it was just the right mix, but our focus to try to, you know, try semi-competitive and try competitive, get players, keep everyone involved at a skill level where they're comfortable and they're having fun, was really new territory. And so in that sense, I think that was quite a success story. And then, so since then, Jace Care Foundation has started up. They've taken over Challenger Canada, which has been growing for about 5 years. They're amazing across Canada, but they came to us to learn at the beginning, and they've told us that they've learned a lot from us, and it's now spreading out like across Canada, and we've been talking with other clubs in that, and all, you know, equally good people, you know, volunteers and leaders, and it's a great place to be. It's a fabulous program.
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for programs like this, what would you say?
Oh, absolutely. So let me go back a step. So baseball, we started with baseball. We had players saying, can we do something in the winter? And parents, you know, because we had many people saying to us, this is the only thing our child has, or we get adults out of group homes. This is the only thing they have like this. So we started a winter program. And we have, it's like recreational, really low skill level, soccer and bocce. We are now just on the verge of starting competitive Paralympic bocce, which is absolutely amazing. People from group homes in wheelchairs can compete and travel and compete. And there's quite a bit of interest and excitement about this. So, but on top of that, outside of Hamilton Challenger Baseball, I forget how long ago now, maybe 7-8 years ago, with Denise, I helped to start Accessible Sport Council in Hamilton with the focus on starting other programs, because there is, and if you talk to anyone, any of the workers at the Children's Center at Hamilton Health Sciences, there's still a huge need for sports and rec for children, especially with disabilities. They lag way behind their able-bodied brothers and sisters, but it is growing. There's lots of good news and lots of things happening. So there's you know, like in Hamilton, there's Able Sail. I believe there's a couple other soccer groups close by. There's bowling. And so off the top of my head, I can't think of the others, but there's a few others that are developing. Oh, Denise is trying to start a ambulatory basketball, where it's people with disabilities, but they're not in wheelchairs. There is a wheelchair basketball. There's also sledge hockey. My son played sledge hockey for quite a few years, but it's still just emerging. And so the, you know, message to a community, there's still a long way to go. This should be front and center. We'd love to have our own facility for people with disabilities, where they can go, a place they can be proud of. They feel welcomed. They get first priority, and just, you know, want to be there and want to be involved.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
This next segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Deb and Charles Toth. Will be telling me a little bit about a family member who got a lupus diagnosis and how they've been able to be of support. So what can you tell me about his story?
Well, Kim, thanks for asking. We would consider ourselves just, you know, regular family, day to day, going about our, you know, day-to-day business. And my son that's with me here, Charles, he and I would agree that his brother, my son Albert, is someone who is very active and really takes his activities to extremes. So when he started to complain that there were some things happening in his body that were quite painful, unusually so, we pretty much dismissed that as him just going hard at his activities like he typically would. But you know, when you love your loved ones, as you do, when it becomes a little bit more intense, you start to take action.
Yeah. I mean, there's athletic pain, and then there's this is something consistently wrong sort of thing.
Correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about the diagnosis process, what it was like finding this out?
Of course. Well, we have a family doctor that he went to and originally gave the doctor, you know, what he would call his symptoms. And they were somewhat dismissed, in my opinion, a little bit. There was too much of a lengthy time that went by. But fortunately, once we decided that he should maybe go to the hospital, we were quite pleased that things ramped up very, very fast as far as medical attention. The doctor that was in the ER that day decided that he was pretty convinced that Albert had the lupus and that he would set up an appointment with a specialist for us. So therefore, our specialist appointment came pretty quick. I think it was September 5th when we saw our rheumatologist, and this doctor was quite thorough and also sent him four more tests to be accurate in the diagnosis, but right from the get-go, she was pretty certain that it was lupus. Now, what she wouldn't know and would need us to continue to get help was that she wouldn't know where the lupus was attacking. And apparently it attacks major organs. Apparently it's a little bit on the rare side to attack men. In her wisdom, she sent us to a kidney specialist, and that turned out to be the correct thing to do.
So can each of you tell me how you felt when you realized what was going on?
Well, my brother is very active, and eventually he couldn't even get up the stairs, and like to the point where, you know, if he was upstairs, he was up there most likely for the night. And he'd only go up and down the stairs like as minimal as possible. Like he'd try to do it like once a day, like go up and down. That was after we saw our family doctor, and then we finally got some real help after we went to the hospital. The family doctor didn't do anything for us. He dismissed the lupus.
So I think Charles was kind of angry when you ask us how we felt. We were a little frustrated, to be honest, but I think mostly we were sad and kind of feeling sorry for Albert, you know, that, gee, why would you have to have this? But, you know, you do get through that kind of shock, I guess, and you start to just realize that, you know, everybody has a cross to bear, and this is his, and we're going to be with you, and we're going to help you, and he's getting fabulous help from local doctors.
Can you each give me an example of a time when you've been able to be of support, whether it be physical needs or something on the keeping up the morale end of things?
I think just being a listener, I think, is probably my best advice, because you don't know one day to the next where somebody is going to be, as far as you say, Cam, keeping up the morale of things. I know that you have your good days and your bad days, and if you're listening and you're in tune, then you can be that support by just being a presence and and reassuring that you're going to get through it together.
Well, you can't tell the future, so I can't really guarantee what's next for Albert, but I was telling him all the time, you know, to hang in there and, I mean, generally, he was, amazing. It was amazing to me. He was actually still self-motivated. Like, he was going to school and stuff and doing things. Like, he tried to do things that he couldn't do so well anymore that he loves to do, like skateboard and go to the gym and play hockey. He tried, and now, thanks to the help from the local hospital, Windsor Regional, he's able to actually skateboard and go to the gym and play hockey like he always likes to do, and that's great. And I mean, I don't know, at his worst, I was just telling him it'll only get better from here.
That's the thing. He's learning to work with the abilities he still has instead of seeing it as necessarily a loss. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you both for taking the time out to do this.
Thanks, Cam.
Of course. Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Windsor Youth Center is a free drop-in community center for homeless and at-risk youth in the Windsor-Essex area. The WYC assists people with many important things, such as replacing identification, resume writing, as well as providing meals, snacks, and a safe space for youth to come together. The Windsor Youth Center is located at 1247 Wyandotte Street East and is open Monday to Friday from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. For more information, visit their website at downtownmission.com under the services or give them a call at 226-674-0006.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor-Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Mike Moore about Challenger Baseball and from Deb and Charles Toth about what it's like for a family to go through a lupus diagnosis. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Aubrey Marcione, who'll be giving us an update on the American Dance Wheels Foundation. So tell me a little bit about the latest happenings with Dance Wheels.
Hi, Cam. It's nice to talk to you again. We are, we've had some really exciting things happen this year and some exciting initiatives that we're planning for 2020. So American Dance Wheels, this year we continued our programs, our really successful programs for youth dancers in schools. That program is called Danceville Schoolhouse. We launched it, a couple years ago. It was inspired to start by our original program in the Philadelphia School District for middle and high school students. And we've been doing a lot with teaching in the schools, and we also started an initiative to bring our program into universities. So we give talks that are similar to like what you would see on a TED Talk at universities to help, with the disability advocacy and bring awareness to what we do and how dance is healthy and beneficial to everyone who participates in it. And we've also have programs for universities that actually immerse the students in wheelchair dancing, so they actually get to experience it, not just hear about it, which is really great. It's a really hands-on program. So we've been doing a lot with, universities as well for older kids and young adults. And then something really exciting that happened this year more recently is Emily Bear. She's a former child music prodigy. She's a composer and pianist and songwriter, singer. She contacted American Dance Wheels to partner with us. She has a song that just came out called Dancing, and she wants to use that song and her platform to raise money for organizations that basically have the message that anyone can dance. So she chose us and two other organizations to donate all the proceeds of her song to, which I think is really fabulous. I think it's great to have, you know, people out there that use their talents for good. So we were really excited to partner with her. And right now we have something going on through social media where you can use her song and dance to it and post it with the hashtag Keep Dancing. And, you know, it's kind of a viral thing going on right now. So. And so that's pretty much the news of what, you know, kind of happened this year. We are working, we also have a couple working towards putting together choreography to in hopes of going to a world championship in Europe in a few years. So I've been working closely with them, and they're very talented. So they're getting ready to represent the United States, which has only been done, I believe, twice ever at a world championship. So that's very exciting. And for 2020, we have an initiative to bring our program to first responders and their families. So it will be open to anyone. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, in a wheelchair, if they're not in a wheelchair, if they have a disability, if they have no disability, you know, they can join our program if they're a first responder, a former first responder, and come and have fun. And it's our way of giving back to the community.
I'm kind of curious, with all the updates to the education programs you've mentioned, are there any myths about wheelchair dancing you've been able to clear up?
Well, I think a lot of people might look at wheelchair dancing and not really realize, you know, the benefits that people get from it. You know, dancing in general has been proven over and over to have significant, you know, health benefits. And I think that some people might look at wheelchair dancing and maybe think like, oh, that's cool. Like it's, you know, just another, you know, dance activity, but really wheelchair dancing can be very athletic, too. Very athletic, very creative. So I think by showing, letting specifically like in the universities, letting the students actually participate, and some of the standing students get the opportunity to actually sit in a chair and experience what it's like, you know, pushing the wheels to the music and connecting to their partner. I think it's a real eye-opener for, you know, for people, for students who eventually are going to work with people who have disabilities in the future. A lot of the students we cater this program to are recreational therapists, occupational therapists. So it's a good hands-on activity to get them, you know, familiar with what we do, but also to understand on a very small level what, you know, someone in a wheelchair might experience when doing activities seated. So I think that's a good thing.
So in recent memory, has there been any success moment with all the events and all the happenings with the foundation that stands out for you?
I mean, I think what was that question again? I'm sorry.
Has there been any recent success that stands out for you?
I think just the fact that we're able to continue what we do, you know, is a success. I mean, a lot of the funding recently for certain programs that we see that are disability related have, and especially sports, a lot of the other organizations we talked to have had a hard time with getting funding for their programs. And I think that we haven't experienced that. So, you know, our supporters are very loyal and dedicated. And I think that that's a success, that we're still able to do what we do and build upon what we do. You know, on that level, I think that, I'd like to thank Dana and Christopher Reeve Foundation, Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, MCAN Foundation, Hassel Foundation, Prudential, Fox and Roach have always been huge supporters of us, especially for our Danceville Schoolhouse programs. And we're continuing to get new supporters every year. Every year we add to our donor list. So I think that's a success. And that to know that people really believe in us. I mean, we started this in officially in 2004, but we were doing this in the year 2000. So it's been almost 20 years of being able to serve our communities through dance. So I think that in itself is a successful, you know, milestone.
So are there any projects lined up you'd like to talk about?
I think just the first responder program right now. And we're going to open that in the spring of two. We're going to start local to where we're based, which is in Pennsylvania. So we're going to have a program in New Jersey and a program in Philadelphia for the first responders and their families. We're going to open it up, like I said, to anyone who has ever been a first responder. So I would say follow us. We're going to have a lot of updates coming out on social media, on Facebook in particularly, and you know, we'll send out stuff through our email and our website. But hopefully that program, we're going to have a program start in the spring, and then we're going to take a break for the summer, and we'll have another program in the fall. So I just want people to know to look out for that. And if you are in the area of New Jersey and PA, or if you want this program to come to your area, definitely reach out to us, and, you know, we will make it happen.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. You know what's interesting, my friends? Some people might make the case in the Challenger baseball that the player wasn't really out there doing it. But the fact is, his family gave him such support and such love. They wanted him to experience the freedom of being part of a team. They wanted to see that he could be part of the great tapestry we call life. And honestly, he does what is within his abilities, and it is a contribution. It's changing the way we look at the face of those around us. It's easy to say, this is impossible, this person has nothing to bring to our table. The fact is, it's entirely wrong. No matter what a person's abilities, no matter how we choose to look at them, there's always some hidden gem in there. This little seed of light. Potential. The only real question is, how are we as a people going to develop and nurture that? Now, with any seed, there are two possibilities. Be cultivated, developed, help reach its best into something strong and thriving. Or we can overlook it and say, eh, there's a million seeds, what do we need with one? But if you take that attitude with all of them, you start to realize you're overlooking all of them. Because if you don't need any one particular talent set or abilities, why do you need any? Why does anyone need anything? It's a slippery slope. You can never discard any human potential unless you fully understand that potential. And the truth is, that's impossible. You can't say for certain, this person will never achieve this or that. It is not our right, our place, to put a glass ceiling on anyone or anything. That's what I love to hear, though. People who are taking those as what they are. Suggestions. You might never be able to do this. You might have to find a way to do that. Yeah, it calls for creative thinking. And I think the world could use a little more of that, to be honest. People who are just looking at different solutions, different pathways to reaching their best. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.